Testing, one, two. I think everyone will know this song, and I think you'll like it.
I can take a heart that's broken, make it over again. But how?
Oh, let's start over. I started in the wrong key. Let me wait for you to get started, then I'll do it. I'm sorry.
I can take a heart that's broken, make it over again. But I know a man who can. I can take a soul that's sincere, make it white as the snow. But some call him Savior, the Redeemer of all men. I call him Jesus, for he's my dearest friend. If you feel no one can help you, and your life is out of hand, why? I can't walk upon these waters or calm the troubled sea, but I know a man who can. I can cause blind eyes to open or make the lame to walk again, but I know who can. Some call him Savior, the Redeemer of all men. I call him Jesus, for he's my dearest friend. If you feel no one can help you, and your life is out of hand, I know a man who can. Yes, I know a man.
good, y'all. Woo! I am probably going to mess this name up. And I tell you, I have tried several times. I've been on, you know, when you're reading your Bible and you get to a word that you don't quite understand or you don't exactly know how to say it, you either look at dictionary.com or you come here Wednesday night and we'll all correct you. Isn't that right, Billy? Can you say it now?
Capacity.
Amen. Yes, that's me. Y'all don't understand how hard that was. I'm getting ready to slaughter this, but we're going to talk about someone today. It's a minor prophet, Habakkuk. We're going to get this right now. I cannot discuss this if I don't know how to say it. Y'all don't understand. Hold on.
Habakkuk.
Okay, there we go. Habakkuk. Okay. Habakkuk. Y'all going to know what I'm talking about, okay? Because I have tried and tried. Y'all don't understand. My dictionary app here has a way to pronounce it, and I have messed it up every single time. But what I want to do is talk to you because we've all had times in our family, we've all had something that we just do not understand. We don't know why it's happening to us. We don't know why the plan is that it is. And we often ask, why? Why do we do that? It's like we're from Missouri or something, the show me state. You see, we cannot trust in God for what He said that He will do. We cannot give Him all of our problems. We want to hold on to them all the time. When we have something, we have our goals in life, or we have things we want to accomplish within the year. You know, we make our New Year's resolutions, and so we kind of plan on that's what we're going to focus on for the year. And if it doesn't go exactly like we want it to, we ask why. We don't pray about it. We don't pray like we should about it, I'll say that. I'm not saying we hadn't prayed about it. I know that many of us have said, God, why do you? That's how we pray. God, why do you? Blah, blah, blah. Why? Why me? Why? And we get into this big thing. Now, I don't want to say that you shouldn't have open dialogue with your God, with our God, because we need to. We need to talk to Him. We need to ask Him to be a part of our life. We can't not do that. And for Christians, we believe that He guides us and directs us, that He sent His Holy Spirit to be with us, and that He's with us. In that, you know, Habakkuk, we will see that that's exactly what happened. You see, he was questioning God, and then God answered him. So if you will, turn into your Bibles, into Habakkuk 1 through 4. Told you I was going to mess that thing up for a long time. And you know, and when you're reading yourself or reading over, it doesn't really matter because you know what you're talking about. But I feel like when I'm telling you guys or when I'm teaching you, I want to make sure that I say it right. And I still can't do it. But that's all right. Pray for me and love me still. You see, he was a 7th century prophet here, and the thing I want to ask you about is what makes him that prophet? What is a prophet? A prophet is someone that speaks for God or is a great teacher of divinity through God. You don't just call yourself a prophet. God makes you that. And while you're finding that and find it and keep your place there, I want to tell you that this name, Habakkuk, means embrace. Embrace. You know, most of the time in the books of the Bible and these prophets, their names mean almost what they did or what their issue might have been. See, the problem was here is that he just couldn't embrace the fact that God was who he was and that God was going to do what he said he was going to do. And if you have that in your Bibles, chapter 1, 1 through 4, please stand with us as we read God's word. The burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw is in one here. Oh Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear? Even cry out to you, violence, and you will not save. Why do you show the iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention arises. Therefore the law is powerless and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, perverse judgment proceeds. Let us pray. Lord, we just thank you for your word. Lord, we just thank you for this book because it gives us so many details in small three chapters that are so powerful to us as Christians. As we see, there is a lesson to be learned from each word that is written in the Bible. And here, we see that we must trust in you, that we should not doubt, because you are the Almighty, you are the healing one, you are the understanding one, you are the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. As we study today, I just pray that each and every one here will get something from this message from you, Lord. In your name, amen. You may be seated. If you have your Bible still open there, continue to read on. The Lord's answer said, look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded, for I will work a work in your days, which you would not believe, though it were told to you. That's our problem. We don't actually believe. We believe that we have to get up on Sunday morning and come to church. We believe that Wednesday it's probably a good idea to be here. And we probably, anytime the door's open, we understand we need to be there. But do we really believe? Or do we just come to church? See, that was his problem. He was a spiritual person. But he didn't have the total faith he needed. For indeed I am raising you up, if you're reading in your Bible, it's Chaldeans, the Chaldeans, a bitter and hasty nation which marches through the breadth of the earth to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity proceed from themselves. Their horses also are swifter than leopards, and are more fierce than evening wolves. Their chargers charge ahead. Their cavalry comes from afar. They fly as the eagle that hastens to eat. They all come for violence. Their faces are set like the east wind. They gather captives like sand. They scoff at kings, and princes are scorned by them. They deride every stronghold, for they heap up earthen mounds and seize it. Then his mind changes, and he transgresses. He commits offense, ascribing this power to his God. You see, our problem is sometimes is that we love to ask God why. We don't always want to hear the answer that he has to give us. We don't always understand the timing of his completing our problem. If you give something to God, if you give it to God, remain faithful that he's going to do something about it. You know, it's so funny that, or not funny, but it's, our problem is as a society that we have so many answers before us that God has put before us, but yet we can't even open up our eyes and see. Now, I know, Brother Steve, that's a little harder for you, but maybe that's come clear. And that's not what I'm talking about your eyes. But the problem is that we have such tunnel vision. We are so set in our ways as human beings that the answer could be right out there. I've used this description before, but it talked about someone that was in the floods in Louisiana. And basically he was getting so much, trying to get some help. And so the boat come by, he said, "No, my God's going to save me." The another person come by, "No, my God's going to save me." And then a helicopter come, and he waved them off. He said, "No, my God's going to save me." He got to heaven, and he said, "Jesus, why didn't you save me? God, why didn't you save me?" He said, "You dummy, I sent three people to save you." See, our problem is that it's right there in front of us, and we can't even see it. Just because it wasn't your idea doesn't mean it's not a good one. Don't get so caught up in what you're talking about that you forget to allow God to work through you. Don't get so caught up into what you're talking about that you don't understand what is even happening to you when it changes. See, our problem is that we don't want to change. We just want to be that same old person. We just want to realize that it's all in God's hands, but yet when he's trying to work, we won't even allow him to work. There's a couple verses in this in the book, and it only has three chapters, so it's a real easy book to read, but yet some of the Old Testament teaching sometimes is a little harder to read and understand. It just depends. So, I mean, I recommend that whatever version Bible you have, you can get a study Bible. It kind of helps you analyze some things, but definitely it's something that you want to study. When you read these smaller books, there is something powerful in them. There is not something that's written in the Bible that doesn't pertain to us. There is not something written in the Bible that we shouldn't take a look at. That's why for the next few weeks, I'm going to be taking some of these prophets, I'm going to be taking some of these books in the Old Testament, and we're going to dissect them. We're going to look at them a little bit. We're going to get a message out of them. We're going to see the power of the Old Testament. See, our churches today is all about the New Testament, preaching that it's all going to be good out there. Well, I'm telling you, it's not all good out there. We got to realize that sin is sin, and sin is at our back door. Sin has already probably knocked half of us down. Thank God we can get back up again. See, just because sin takes you over, as my brother was saying this morning, just because you make a bad mistake, it doesn't mean you're a bad person. It just means you've allowed sin in your life. But that doesn't mean you can't change. And that's the way we need to be. That's Miss Peggy's vision. She knows there's people in our community that need the Lord. And we're just not a church here to be a church as a building. We're here to be a church as a community of believers, to trust in him, to love on him, and to know that he is in control. There is somebody that we see every day that needs the Lord. We just have to trust in him. You ever had that moment where you just know that you really need to go up and say something to someone? You ever had that moment where you feel like it's that time, it's the right timing, and you step away? I think we've all done it. In chapter 2, verse 4, it said, "But the just shall live by his faith." Chapter 3, 17 and 18, "Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls.
That sounds like a lot of bad stuff, right? But listen what you should do.
Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Our problem is that we are the best Christians we ever want to be if everything is going in our way. But when something goes bad, we forget to rejoice the same way. We forget to say, thank you, God, for even giving me this. I know Brother Gary, if he has trouble on his farm, and you know, on a farm, there ain't nothing that always goes right. He'll probably tell you that. Or Mickey at your shop, you know, you're trying to get started and you've dropped a piece of steel on your toe. See, no matter what we do, things can happen. And it can fail. But we need to remember that He is in control. We still rejoice in the Lord. I'd love for this to have an update. Because I bet the next thing we'll see, my fig tree blossomed. There was fruit on the vines. There was olive that fell. Their fields had so much food, I didn't know what to do. The flock was plentiful. And there were so many herds that we didn't even have enough stalls. We had to build them and build them and build them because of His faithfulness. You see, and this Israel had fallen, and the ministers there in Judah struggles with the problem of evil in their days. The Assyrians had just fallen to the Babylonians. There were so many things in their life that had gone wrong. But yet, they must rejoice, the same as we must. We never know where God's going to lead us. I never knew 2 years ago that I'd be standing in front of you today sharing the message. I didn't have a clue, but He did. He keeps me on my toes every day. I learn something new every day. I didn't know what I was doing. I just knew I thought I could tell you a message. Y'all, it's hard. There is nothing that you do that's going to be easy. Just when we think we've got it all planned out and we know everything, something happens. They might have prepared their fields the best ever. They might have had the most herd the year before and got struck with a famine or something. I mean, we don't know the whole story. You see, there was so much violence and atrocities and frustrated. He was frustrated because he felt like God wasn't doing anything for him. Want to blame God. There's so many buildings that are vacant in Wallace. There are so many buildings that are looking ugly. The town has just gone down. It seems like everything wants to move out to Tin City. And all of Wallace is a beautiful town. It used to be, growing up, we used to love going there. And you guys have items here, places here that used to be profitable, booming businesses. Do we blame God because it ain't there no more? It's not God's fault. Man makes his own decisions. He gives us the power to make our decisions. And I've talked about this before. When man and man get together, and I don't mean the other way, but man and man get together business-like, we mess it up. You got to have God in that mix somewhere. You got to give it to God in everything that you're doing. Our problem is we have the best ideas. I guarantee you His will work better.
There's many struggles that we see, and there's several situations that we have also that, you know, when God's not doing anything, our problem is we want Him to. We expect Him to. Not want Him to. We all want Him to. But we expect Him to now. I think of that J.G. Wentworth commercial. It's my money and I want it now. Well, it's my idea or my frustration or my problem going on, and God, I want you now. He's there. He never left you. But He ain't going to give you that winning lottery ticket just so every time when you go to the store, you say, God, I'm going to pray that this is my winning lottery ticket. If you're praying for that today, don't. Is that what your prayer should be about? When God does things in ways that we cannot accept, He's given us sometimes, all the time, He's given us those answers, and a lot of times we won't take them. Our problem is that it isn't our way. Listen. I don't have to tell you, and I know y'all have had more experiences than I have sometimes on these things, but it just don't always work out to be your way. Sometimes you got to give in. Well, that could be God right there working in your life to show you that you can change. And He might have another and greater and bigger thing coming your way, and you can't even see it because He prepares for us a place. See, He's developing us right now for His kingdom. But He is trying to get more people in the kingdom. You see, we have so many in our own neighborhoods that are going to hell because they do not believe. They do not believe. Psalms 27, 20 and 7. And I'm going to look that up real quick. It says that, I want to get it right because if I mess it up, I'll lose the whole thing of it. Psalms 27 says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. You can put your trust in those other things if you want to, but you need to remember, Lord, the Lord your God. Don't put your trust in material things, because material things are just that. They will go away. God will not. You see, despite the struggles that he had, the problem that he had was that he didn't trust in God. You see, it's simple. He complains to God. God answers him. And then he launches into a second complaint. Then God responds. And then he responds with a song of worship. You see, we need to have hope in God even when you can't see that something is going on. He is working for you. He is working with you, not against you. We must understand that God is in control, and we must have trust as we see that He did a song. And I'm only about halfway through, but I'm going to wrap it up here. As we see that losing the whole meaning right here. As he had a problem with trusting God, he later came to trust in God. You see, our problem is we might need to be changed, but we need to be changed. after we know we need to be changed. We got to change. You can't keep thinking the same old thing. Definition of insanity. Anybody want to tell us what it is? Expecting different results when you do the same thing. Listen, church. We have to go out. If it's not working for us, we need to do something different. That's why Sister Peggy's mission, or vision and mission, is to bring this community together. You see, I am so blessed to be able to meet her and know her and understand exactly what, or, you know, understand more about what she's trying to do. But I'll leave this with you, church. Do we ask why? Or do we get equipped? It's time to put on our armor gear. It's time to go out and battle Satan. It's time to go out and live for your God that has done so many things for you. Trust in Him. Don't be the one to let them say to you, trust in one of ye of little faith. I hope this is just an extra boost for you. In conclusion here, I want to say, the answers are often right in front of us. Our problem is that we have clouded our sights to defaults and misunderstandings. Don't be quick to judge, and that's a whole different thing. But don't be quick to judge. Trust in Him. Love Him. Know that God is going to take care of it. And trust in Him all the days of your life. Let us pray. Lord, we're just so thankful. As we see a man that you believed in question you, we know that we may not understand. We may know that we are going to get confused, but you will make it clear for us. If we keep believing and we keep praying and we keep reading your word, it will become clear. God, you have placed so many people in our lives today, the knowledge-wise, that can help us understand a little better. We have no excuses today for not understanding. Could be a phone call away. Could be a person meeting away. Could be a book away to knowing what you would want us to know. God, I just pray today that we'll go out and we'll be that person that doesn't so much ask why as we go to research. We ask God to help us, to understand, better equip us, Lord, so we can go out and live for you, so we can go out and be a part of your army, so we can go out and share the word of God to everyone. Not show doubt for everything, but show trust in you. So we'll have resolution in our lives and more understanding. We love you and we praise you. Amen.